Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So treatment for life-threatening allergic reactions is about to get a little cheaper after it got a whole lot more expensive. Mylan, the EpiPen maker, announced on Monday that it will begin selling a new generic version of its device for about half the current price. The move by Mylan comes in response to mounting pressure from consumers and Congress to lower the drug's price. In less than 10 years, the price for a two-pack of EpiPens has risen from about $100 to more than $600. This new generic will go for about $300. The recent price increase has brought EpiPens into the media, obviously, and with it people who are suffering from potentially life-threatening allergies. For those of you who don't know what an EpiPen is, you inject yourself with it if you are suffering an allergic reaction that could be life-threatening or you have someone inject you. I want to open up the phones for those of you who are EpiPen carriers or parents of children who carry EpiPens and hear your thoughts about the price increase. Have you bought an EpiPen for yourself or your child since the price increase? Of course, it's been a gradual thing. Some people, though, were shocked this year by the latest bit of that price increase. And let's share some advice, too. If you couldn't afford it, what did you do? Did you buy it anyway and go into a little bit of credit card debt or something for your kid's EpiPen or for yours? And what did you have to give up in order to make this now slightly extravagant medical purchase? What other tips do you have for others? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And with us now to talk about the price increase, the politics, the release of the new generic, and what people can do is Washington Post health business reporter Carolyn Johnson. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show.
So the story has been around for a little while now. What have we uncovered about why the price of the EpiPens have skyrocketed? And did they go up again sort of suddenly in anticipation of EpiPens losing its patent to generics?
Well, it's been Mylan, the company that makes EpiPen, bought this drug in 2007. And when they got some more patent protection for the injector part, the drug itself, epinephrine, is very old. But when they got some new patent protection for the injector, they began raising the price. And there's basically been biannual price hikes of 10 or 15% that have been going on that have resulted in the price tag that sparked so much outrage. But we hear this story again and again in the pharmaceutical industry, but when a company has a monopoly for whatever reason, and in this case there was pretty much a virtual monopoly, there were competitors, but they had various problems and they haven't really gained any traction or were pulled from the market. So Mylan kind of had a free runway to just increase the price.
Mylan CEO Heather Bresch has spent the past week trying to shift blame for the increased cost of the product away from the company and on to insurance companies. They argued in statements that more people have high deductible health plans and high co-payments, so they're just finally being made aware of the high price. How much truth is there to that?
Yeah, the tough and complicated thing about drug prices is that there is a lot of blame to go around to different industries. So it is true there has been a shift to high deductible health plans, which means that consumers who may not have even known what the list price is, if they're in their deductible period, they may suddenly be slammed with the whole list price, whereas before maybe they had a copay, so it was only, you know, $30 or $50 when they filled this prescription. So, I mean, there is a complicated kind of finger pointing that's going on between the pharmaceutical industry and the health insurance industry. But, I mean, both of these industries are benefiting in some way. So it may be true the company is raising its price and not all of that price is going to the pharmaceutical company. At the same time, there's this middleman industry taking a slice of it, saying that their whole goal is to reduce the price to consumers. That is one of their goals, but they also take a slice of it. So there becomes, it becomes a circular argument a little bit after a while. But you know, it does seem like with people shifting to high deductibles, it's very possible that people who never knew what the list price is are suddenly feeling it hard when they fill, they go up to the pharmacy counter.
Do you know anything about these coupons? I know somebody who was at the pediatrician with their kid, got the EpiPen, the latest EpiPen subscription, prescription, and the doctor gave them a coupon. I saw it. That said 0% copay for your EpiPen. And when they went to the pharmacy, it wasn't a 0%, a $0, I'm sorry, same thing, $0 copay. And it wasn't a $0 copay. Do you know anything about these coupons and if they're legit, or if they're as advertised?
So the coupons are another part of this war between pharmaceutical companies and insurance companies. So the coupons, they one of the first moves Mylan made under so much pressure about the price was last week to introduce a coupon program. I think they are, they have had one, but this one expands it to up to $300 copay. So that means, like, if your insurance would normally give you a $50 copay, it would be zero for you, up to $300. And at that point, it just becomes $300 off. The complicated thing about these coupons is that people have to know they exist. They have to reach out for them. You have to have commercial insurance for them because these coupons are not legal in government-funded health programs. So there's a lot of kind of caveats to go along with it. I can't speak to what, you know, your acquaintance personally experienced because I don't know enough about the details, but these coupons are hated by the insurance companies because they're a way of making the patients feel like they're paying very little or nothing, but the insurance company is still on the hook. So it doesn't really solve the kind of global problem about a high drug price because we're still paying in our premiums and our deductibles for the increasing cost of healthcare. So, you know, to many people, these seem like a very incomplete solution, although they may have benefits for consumers. And it's hard to know, you know, there are, you have to qualify for them. You also have to know to use them. There may be time limits on them. There's all kinds of, they're used for many different drugs, and there's all kinds of complexity to how they're being used. But it, and basically, it's become kind of one of the additional weapons between the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance industry in trying to deal with, you know, getting drugs to people while also preserving kind of the system we have for paying them for them.
Rodrigo in Flushing, you're on WNYC. Rodrigo, thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me, Brian. First time, long time.
Great to have you.
Thank you. I guess my experience with this is the level of cost difference that I experienced when I changed my insurance as a result of changing jobs. Initially, we had New York State of Health, and the EpiPen was completely covered by Emblem Health. Afterwards, when I switched to Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield as a result of switching jobs, the cost, the copay for the prescriptions increased significantly due to the high deductible that I had. And it ended up going from literally $0 for my daughter to $500 approximately.
Wow.
And, you know, I ended up having to max out a credit card as a result to cover for that. And I'm trying to understand why. Obviously, there's patents and other legal loopholes, but I'm trying to understand why we don't have generics of this in circulation.
Let me ask you one thing before we get to the generics part. Did you say that Child Health Plus covered the full cost and the new insurance did? So does that mean that you went from kind of New York State insurance into private sector insurance and the state insurance had better coverage?
That's correct. For prescription drugs in general, that's been my experience. It absolutely had significantly better coverage for my children.
So Let's first see if we can get you some help for next year on your new insurance. Carolyn, is there anything that Rodrigo can do? I mean, imagine all these people, even with insurance, and then imagine the people without insurance maybe having to pay $500 out of pocket. So many people can't afford that. We're talking about a life and death kind of instrument.
Yeah, and I think another thing is just the unpredictability, the surprise that comes. I mean, it's one thing if you are aware that that's going to be what you have to do, but it's obviously a shock if you come up to the pharmacy counter and experience this. So, I am not a health insurance counselor of any kind, but it sounds like he would probably qualify for the coupon, which you can get on the EpiPen. There's a website, and you can request this. It's an up to $300 copay card, and so that should help with at least some of the costs. Another kind of, you know, loose cannon is they're going to be, within a few weeks, introducing this half-price generic, and I would certainly, when you talk to your doctor, request the generic if it's not offered. You know, in many states, the pharmacist will simply substitute the generic because it benefits the consumer and its equivalent drug, but if you don't get that offered, right, certainly ask for it.
And there isn't one yet, though, with EpiPens, right?
There's not a true generic. There have been other competitors. And they've kind of phased in and out over time a little bit. So, uh-huh. I mean, a long time ago, there was something called the Twinject. There has been something. There is a cheaper, not truly equivalent, but it's the same drug and an injector called the Adrenaclick, which has a much lower list price. And then there will be this authorized generic from Mylan at half of the price of the brand name drug.
Do you know, as a health reporter, if these other non-EpiPen brands are effective?
Oh, I mean, that's why we have a regulatory process. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, so some of them have been discontinued. The one I mentioned, the Twinject, has been discontinued. There was another one called the Auvacue, which was actually, I've been told by doctors and some patients, very popular, but it had a safety recall and hasn't been reintroduced to the market. So right now there's this Adrenaclick drug, and, you know, the FDA regulates the safety and effectiveness. I think one of the reasons EpiPen has had such a lock on the market is because they always had really strong market penetration. And also, you know, this is like become a brand that's like Kleenex. People trust it, except if Kleenex saved your life and wasn't just a tissue, you know? So, like, parents who have to send their kids to school and are worried that, you know, they're not going to be there if their kid has a reaction, and they want to make sure they just have the same device as everyone else. So there's almost a little bit of just, you know, fear and wanting to have the same exact thing that the school nurse has been trained on. And so there's almost just like this social pressure, I think. But, you know, I've spoken to many doctors who say, like, the Adrenaclick is a good drug. So it just hasn't been nearly as successful in the marketplace.
All right. So Rodrigo and a lot of others listening right now, at least maybe that's one alternative out there that might save you some money if it doesn't come down in other ways. Karen in Ridgewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm switching between insurances. Last year we paid $550 approximately for a set of two because, you know, we had a high deductible plan. And this year we switched to another plan, which is significantly more expensive, but we were able to get the set of EpiPens for a 3.5-year-old daughter for a $30 copay, which was amazing. I mean, we have resources more than a lot of people, and it's still not an insignificant cost when you have to pay full price. It's crazy. I mean, even having it supposedly cut in half with some of these coupon things, it's still $300. And as I said, even for us, that's not an insignificant cost. And the other thing that I just wanted to bring up as far as I heard your part about the, some of the possible generics or other brands, et cetera. There's been this meme going around on Facebook about how, well, you just have to get your doctor to prescribe a vial and, you know, and a syringe, and it only costs $10. That clearly comes from people who have never watched their child shaking like a leaf and a rash all over her body and throwing up, and her lips turning white because she ingested some tiny amount of milk to which she is severely allergic. That is just not something you can count on doing in an emergency when you're not a medical professional, or much less if you're the person having the reaction, to be able to steadily draw up the correct dose of medication and inject yourself properly to save your own life. You can't count on being able to do that. So this meme is very upsetting, and I always respond whenever I see it to try to correct this misconception that it would be so easy to get rid of this issue. It makes parents and individuals who have the food allergy out to be complete idiots to think that, you know, oh, well, I have no choice but to pay this money when there's this $10 alternative. It's not that simple. And it's really infuriating to watch that going around as though, as I said, we're all so stupid that we're throwing away our money when there's a perfectly good $10 alternative. It's just not true.
Karen, thank you. Carolyn, do you want to react to that?
I feel just a lot of sympathy for, you know, parents that are dealing with this. I do think, you know, people, the other thing that I've heard from people, like, is although, you know, they depend on the EpiPen and they value it, like, they're also frustrated there isn't a better solution, like something that doesn't expire as often, or some, you know, it's very temperature sensitive.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was just going to bring up, I was going to ask you about the expiration date, because it's 1 year, right? And I know a family, for example, that raised two kids who both had, you know, potentially life-threatening food allergies, and they kept EpiPens for all 18 years for both kids. I don't know what the kids are doing because they're young adults now, you know. But, of course, they never used one because you hardly ever actually have to use one, thank goodness. And, you know, so that's 36 EpiPens that they went through in 18 years, a year at a time, without ever having to use one. And did they really need to throw out an EpiPen every year?
Well, again, the FDA regulates the safety and the efficacy of drugs, and it's actually 18 months from date of manufacture. It depends when you obtain it in that kind of supply chain. So, there is some controversy on this. You know, when they do studies, there are many EpiPens that are still good, even a year or 2 years. But there,
we know for other drugs that it's a lot of bull in a lot of cases, right? The expiration date on the package for over-the-counter drugs and things like are less life or death.
To show that, you need to. So the thing is, when they do these studies, they sometimes find, and there's actually, you know, a rigorous way of measuring whether it's still at 90% potency at the expiration date or after. And I have to say, all we have to do is have one kid die because, you know, there was
EpiPen.
They used an and then it's just a tragedy, and it's a failure of our regulatory system. So, you know, I do think there is some question, and it does seem like if you have an EpiPen that's expired and someone's having a life-threatening reaction, it doesn't seem like it's, you know, bad to try and use it if that's your option.
Well,
so,
if that's your only option.
But if you're talking about as a safety net, the reason people are getting this device is because, you know, they want their child to be safe. And until, you know, some rigorous evidence shows that it really is truly safe to keep it for much longer, I wouldn't suggest people, like, kind of gamble in that way until unless their doctor tells them to, honestly. Like, I'm not a health professional, I would say we have a system and, you know, following the instructions, even, you know, if the instructions are wrong, then I think that is the role of science to determine it, not, you know, someone using it too long and having it, you know, something bad go
happen.
Well,
that's certainly the right advice until we know otherwise, since we are talking about life and death situations here. I hope people are really doing the science out there, or that the science was really done right in the first place, and so there aren't a lot of extra EpiPen purchases that are unnecessary. And of course, many families, if they can afford it, keep more than one, because they'll keep one at school in the school nurse's office and the other one at home or to carry around. I have a few people on the board who we're not going to have time for, who were talking about owning multiple EpiPens because of the lives of their kids. One more. Jean in Weston, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jean.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I do not use an EpiPen, but I do have glaucoma. And every time I hear stories about the EpiPen, I think about everybody else who has every condition. And medication is going up like crazy. my glaucoma medication, which I need to keep from going blind, costs $330 a month. And, you know, there's no generic. There's no choice. So every month I go to the pharmacy, and it's not like an EpiPen. I need it every single month. And, you know, there's no option for me.
So, Carolyn, can you put this in broader perspective? The EpiPen story has popped out into the headlines, but maybe Gene's glaucoma medication and others are really in the same category of things that are going up and up and up?
Yeah, well, kind of a rule about drug prices is they go up over time, not always to the same degree as we've seen here, and not always in such a public kind of way. I mean, I think this had all the recipe, like all the ingredients to make kind of a public scandal, because it's children, a life-saving medication, a very familiar brand name. Like, it's not an obscure drug used in the ICU that, like, no one's ever heard of, where, you know, there might be a huge price increase, but no one even really experiences it. Like, this is a product people know and depend on. And so I think, you know, she's right. There are lots of other drugs that have gone up in price, or even if not just the price, but the cost sharing, the amount like that consumers are paying is going up. And that has to do with this whole insurance and pharmaceutical company kind of combination problem. And so I think, you know, hopefully when, you know, this has gotten so much attention from Congress, so hopefully when it's, you know, debated, and maybe if there's hearings or any further kind of action, I mean, I would hope they talk about some of these broader issues and not just this one thing. It's become really easy for us to just point an angry finger at someone, a pharmaceutical company or a CEO that's a villain, but there's obviously, you know, things in our system are working in many ways, but there are obviously opportunities that can be taken advantage of that. And if we're going to kind of use public outrage as the main mechanism to fight back at them, it's just, it's going to leave out some of the, you know, conditions or drugs that don't have like nearly as much traction as this one.
When will the company's generic be on the market? Do we know?
They haven't said. They said in a couple weeks. So we will wait to find out.
Thank you for joining us, Carolyn Johnson, Washington Post health business reporter. Thanks.
Thanks so much.